Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
The story of the UK is an economy that has got real momentum.
What is broken can be repaired. What is ruined can be rebuilt.
UK inflation is becoming much more homegrown.
We have huge potential as an economy in the UK.
This is a time to tell Israel there is a path to peace.
Our plan for the British economy is working, but the work is not done.
You're listening to Bloomberg UK Politics. I'm Stephen Carroll. Welcome to the programme. Happy Monday to you. Now, we are keeping across the news out of Scotland around Humza Yousaf's future. The press conference hasn't happened at the time that we're recording this, but we will bring you full analysis on the show tomorrow about what it means both for Scottish politics, but also in Westminster as well. There is another political story, though, that we wanted to focus on in the show today. Has the government's Rwanda policy led to a rise in asylum seekers going from the UK into Ireland via the border with Northern Ireland? This is a diplomatic spat which has erupted over the past couple of days. It happened after the Irish Justice Minister said that 80% of asylum seekers had arrived in Ireland from Northern Ireland. Rishi Sunak says that's a sign that his Rwanda deportation policy is working, but those comments have led to this diplomatic difference of opinions. The Irish Taoiseach Simon Harris saying that Ireland would not provide a loophole for anyone else's migration challenges. A planned meeting between the Home Secretary and the Irish Justice Minister, which had been scheduled for today, has been postponed. The Irish government, for its part, is now preparing a bill which would allow them to return migrants to the UK. It's a complex situation with both diplomatic and legal consequences. To help us explain, we have our UK government reporter Alex Wickham with us in studio and our Dublin bureau chief Jennifer Duggan with us as well. Jenny, I want to start with you. Can you just take us back to how this row actually started and these comments from the Irish Justice Minister Helen McEntee?
Like the UK, immigration has become a very big issue here in Ireland, and we are seeing an increase in the numbers of people seeking international protection. And there's an accommodation crisis. There's a huge number of people seeking international protection who are homeless and sleeping in tents outside of that office. So that's the broader context. But last week in a parliamentary committee, Minister for Justice Helen McEntee said that 80% of recent asylum seekers arriving in the Republic of Ireland had come across the border from Northern Ireland. Now, it's not entirely clear where that figure has come from, given that people wouldn't be checked at the border. Like that border, you know, as we know through all of the Brexit discussions, that border is completely open. We think it may be coming from, the number of applications coming from people seeking international protection at the offices in the city centre in Dublin, as opposed to at an airport or port. But that's not entirely clear. But that is the kind of background context. And our Taoiseach, Simon Harris, has been very strong on saying that Ireland will not provide a loophole for anyone else's migration challenges. While he didn't mention the UK specifically, it's very clear that that's who he's referring to.
And that's a really important point of the lack of precise data around this. That 80% figure given by Helen McEntee is sort of what sparked this row to begin with. It's something, Alex Wickham, that it appears the government in London seized on very quickly as proof that their policies were working.
Absolutely. There is this deep scepticism in Britain and in Westminster as to whether the so-called deterrent of the Rwanda policy is a real thing and will work and deter migrants from crossing the English Channel from France into England. And the British government is desperate for anything it can clutch onto that shows the Rwanda policy, you know, might work and that there's a point to it. So the suggestion, you know, from the Irish side that you know, perhaps some migrants are worried about being sent to Rwanda and so they're going to Ireland, even though it causes a bit of a diplomatic spat between Britain and Ireland, is pretty helpful for the UK government as it really, you know, tries to find anything it can say that points to Rwanda being a potential deterrent.
This is a particularly complex legal issue because of the common travel area that exists between the UK and Ireland. It means that somebody can get on a flight in London and arrive in Belfast with simple photo ID. They don't need to be travelling with a passport. They can then get on a train or a bus from Belfast to Dublin and not necessarily be checked on that border either, as there aren't systematic checks on the border between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. Jenny, what is the Irish government saying about what they plan to do about this?
Taoiseach has called for the Minister for Justice to bring emergency legislation that would allow for the return of asylum seekers who have come across the border. We don't have any more details on this as of yet, and it's not clear exactly how this would work. It's understood that if this emergency legislation is passed, that Ireland would begin sending asylum seekers back to the UK immediately. But the UK government has rejected any bid by Ireland to return asylum seekers unless France agrees to do the same with boats crossing the Channel. So at the minute, it's really not clear as to how this would exactly work and, you know, what this legislation would allow for and how that fits in with, you know, kind of current, current policy. That's really not clear.
Yeah, and I mean, Alex, that's a really interesting point too, is that the UK government is seeking to sort of get leverage out of this as well, with, as it's trying to, in Rishi Sunak's words, stop the boats.
Yeah, I mean, ironically, a lot of this comes back as well to Brexit, when, you know, there was fascinating comments by David Cameron last week where he sort of was asked what he thinks about the Rwanda policy. And he said, well, you know, it's the best we've got because we've left the EU. We don't have a returns agreement with France. We can't just give the migrants that turn up on boats back to France out because we're outside of the EU. And so, you know, Britain would love to have a returns agreement with France. That would deter boat crossings if they could, you know, collect the migrants when they cross and then give them back to France. So this sort of the suggestion that there could be, you know, a deal with Ireland, or at least there will not be a deal with Ireland unless France agrees to one, and this is, you know, on the EU to help Ireland out here, is another advantageous one for the British government. I mean, I would be very sceptical as to whether France would want to entertain such an idea, even to help out Ireland. But it just shows that, you know, lots of countries now are dealing with this problem, and they're kind of looking inwards, each country, to try and sort it out for themselves rather than collectively.
And of course, Jenny, this is coming at the time that we've had the EU pass its own recent migration pact, which is the other part of the multi-layered legal framework involved here too, is that Ireland is obviously a subscriber to the EU's laws on migration too, which complicates sorting out a bilateral deal.
I mean, Helen McEntee, the Minister for Justice, was due to be in London today for a British-Irish conference, but she pulled out of that after the Home Secretary postponed the meeting. So, you know, this is all kind of just sort of increasing these sort of tensions. The EU Migration Pact has been quite controversial here in Ireland, just in terms of Ireland signing up to it. There's been a lot of debate around that as well. So yeah, the whole thing, it's very unclear as to how a plan to send, first of all, it's very unclear as to how many people are actually coming across the border. And second of all, it's very unclear as to how that a plan would actually work to send people back to the UK.
This is coming, Jenny, at a time as well when, you know, Anglo-Irish relations or British-Irish relations had been improving after a difficult few years linked to Brexit. There had been the restoration of the power-sharing government in Northern Ireland, which was the result of diplomatic efforts both from London and from Dublin. Is this something that threatens to, I suppose, put a spanner in that improving relationship?
there is a desire on both sides to have improved relations. But yeah, for sure. I mean, the fact that this meeting today, you know, was postponed, it certainly, you know, it certainly does sort of raise issues of tensions between the two. And, you know, those comments by Taoiseach Simon Harris yesterday were certainly pretty strong indication of, you know, them not being very happy with the British Prime Minister's comments. So yeah, it certainly does seem that it is a moment of tension, and it's kind of a bit of a sticking point, I suppose, after, you know, there had been a lot of goodwill between the two sides, and certainly seemed that those relations were improving, and that there were real efforts on both sides. So yeah, it certainly, we'll see how this, you know, they've said that the meeting that was it was postponed rather than cancelled, so I suppose it's just we'll see how that plays out. But yes, certainly it seems that there's a rise in tensions.
And indeed, that language around a postponement rather than a cancellation could point to perhaps there being an avenue there for the situation to be improved in the future. Alex, beyond the political hay that you've, you know, implied is being made out of this particular dispute, does it actually stand to the British government to be difficult about resolving this particular situation with Ireland, given the complex relationship between the islands?
Yeah, I mean, it does. The cynic in me does feel it's a little bit contrived on the part of the British government, certainly, and you know, it's a little bit like everybody benefits a little bit from this story, in that the Irish can say, oh well, the Brits aren't helping, the Brits can say, well, the French aren't helping us, and everyone, you know, does this bit of a blame game around what's going on. I don't think the big picture changes very much for the British government, in that it's got this problem with migration across the English Channel, you know, regardless of whether realistically probably a quite small number of people are making the journey over to Ireland, you know, it doesn't mean does that show that there's much of a deterrent across the English Channel? Well, boat crossings are up so far this year, so it does feel a little bit of straw clutching on the UK side.
This is also at a time when, you know, the Prime Minister is keen to try and retain control of the political agenda as well. This is something that perhaps we could see being made a bigger deal out of, simply as the Prime Minister knows he's got an election coming up this week in terms of local elections. It's a good time to try and, I suppose, put his agenda front and centre.
Absolutely. And there's been a clear, deliberate move by the UK government to talk more about migration and Rwanda. They do obviously see it as a potential dividing line with the Labour Party in the UK. Whether that changes the big picture here is another question. You know, certainly there are some conservative-minded voters who could be encouraged to turn out to vote for the Tories if they can create this dividing line and get, you know, start Rwanda flights happening. And certainly this sort of argument would help them. Whether it helps very much, I think, is another question.
Yeah, and I think it'll be something that we'll be very keen to watch as well, and what is proving to be an interesting time in politics for the Prime Minister, of course, because there had been this speculation over the weekend that perhaps Rishi Sunak might call an election today. It hasn't happened yet.
Not yet. No, Downing Street very much playing down this idea. I think it got a little bit excited on Thursday, Friday last week as these rumours swirled. I mean, to be fair, there is this idea coming from within government that it's not impossible a July election could happen. Rishi Sunak might decide, you know, maybe he gets a Rwanda flight away, maybe a few Reform voters come back and the polls narrow a little bit, and this might be the best opportunity that the Tories have. Plan A has always been for Rishi Sunak to have the election later in the year, in the sort of autumn. There are people, serious people in government, who have been talking about this July idea, so it's definitely something to consider. However, doesn't look like we're going to get him calling an election in the immediate future.
Okay, Alex Wickham, our senior UK government reporter, thanks very much, and thanks too to our Dublin Bureau Chief, Jennifer Duggan. That's it from us for today. If you like the programme, don't forget to subscribe, give it 5 stars so other people can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. This episode was produced by James Wilcock, and our audio engineer was Sean Guastamacchia. I'm Stephen Carroll. We'll be back with more tomorrow. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg UK Politics. Listen weekdays at noon on DAB Digital Radio in London.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code Radio20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.